This is David Locke along with Ron Boone. It is postcast here for you. We're broadcasting to you live on Twitch, on Facebook, on Periscope, as well as on YouTube. So grab all of those things. Jazz fall tonight by the final score of 133-99. Their postcast broadcast is brought to you by The Store. There are three locations, 6200 South, 20th East. Ron's favorite new one at the Gateway, where he can stop by and get everything he needs, hot lunches and all the rest, and the new one at 9th South and 100 West, which is my favorite, as I stop by there often after shoot-around. All right, thank you very much for everyone. The hat tip, it does also mean that we are live on all these formats, and the chat room is open. So if you would like to give us a question or a thought, you are more than welcome to jump in and share those thoughts with us. The Jazz lose tonight. First quarter, they were down 34-23. Giannis Antetokounmpo was unbelievable. And you just really saw the impact of having no Rudy Gobert out there. There were a bunch of plays where Giannis got to the basket. He was amazing. I'm not sure he gets to those when Rudy's on the floor.
Well, he wouldn't get to it as easy, that's for sure. And he'd be looking for Rudy. I mean, a couple of times there, he could care less who was around him as he just powered his way to the basket. And he's always trying to dunk. When he gets close to the basket, he's going to try to throw it down on you. Rudy was there, he'd be a little different story.
So the big thing to me was early in this ballgame, the Bucks last year only allowed 30% of their shots at the rim. And they denied the rim, and the Jazz kind of fell for it. They took a lot of mid-range, little floaters, those kind of shots that are really inefficient shots. And Mike Conley ends up going 0-4. Boyan goes 0-4. Donovan struggles a little bit early. Donovan reacted well. He found his little spot on the right side, hit four straight mid-range jumpers at one point in that process, which are shots, if you're the leading scorer, you're going to probably have to take at some point. But you saw the Bucks' defensive system, which was to deny at the rim. We talk about Rudy defensively so much. If Rudy had been on the floor offensively, how much would have that helped?
Well, first of all, Donovan started shooting the shot that I think a lot of the players should shoot against the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, that little hard drive and pull up and knock down the 12-footer rather than charging big guys there at the basket or trying to dribble into traffic and trying to make a spectacular pass. Now, Rudy obviously will make some of those shots more available because they have to respect the role. We have not seen him play against both of these Robin and Brooks Lopez. So it's going to be interesting to see what impact Rudy has against those two guys this year.
Bucks are really quite impressive with both Lopez brothers and now having 48 minutes of center there. All right, let's get to some of the questions from Joshua McGavin on Facebook. Unfortunately, I couldn't watch more tonight, but I saw Donovan take way too many long twos and floaters early, it seemed. Do you agree?
Yes. And now, that's something that the coaching staff and some of the coaches have been working on with Donovan. What that does, that keeps him from trying to shoot over the top of some of the big guys. It keeps him what they think is a more of a high percentage shot rather than trying to shoot around and over the top of some of the bigger centers. Will he get better at that? You know, we just have to wait and see. But I know that's a shot that they've been working with him on trying to make it better.
Peril Kid from Periscope says, does this game mean anything?
No, absolutely not. It means nothing to us. It means a lot to the coaching staff because they got to see players and some of the G League players got a chance to spend some time on the floor. It just means that you're running your offense against a different style of defense, and you start coaches want to see what kind of adjustments and what kind of decisions players make when something like that is thrown at them. During the course of the ball game, they see it, but they get more out of it after the ball game when they're looking at film.
So it was interesting. Mike Wells had us at halftime, and he talked about how, you know, you had these four guys start tonight in Ed Davis, Jeff Green, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Mike Conley, who've never played together before. He said, you know, you actually saw they were down at halftime 64-46. And, you know, Mike said to us at halftime, you know what, actually, there's a lot of really bright spots. You saw two or three plays in sequence where they moved it, did it right, pushed it ahead, and then we wouldn't do it right. But at least we have the moments where they can see those few plays where they did it right.
Yeah, that's why film is so important, I think, for in all sports. You know, and you see in football, and you see it in baseball now where they got the iPads on the bench, and they can go through things and show players what's developing and how to attack it, those type of things during the course of the basketball game. That's one of the reasons these games are so important. They don't play as many preseason games as they used to, but they still get a lot out of, you know, of the few that they have.
T-Money Bomb wants to know, who was your standout tonight besides Tony Bradley?
Who wants to know that?
T-Money Bomb.
T-Money Bomb.
Okay. T-Money Bomb. Okay. Tony Bradley had 17 points and 10 rebounds tonight. Jazz did block one shot tonight. Who was your standout tonight?
Probably Donovan. Tony Bradley, who ended up getting 21 minutes, 10 rebounds. Probably him, because he's the player that if he's going to get some minutes, he has to get those Derek Favors minutes at that position. And hopefully after 2 years, he's going to get a chance to spend a lot of time on the floor.
Preseason basketball is very different. So shoot around today, they did not run through any of the sequences. They didn't do anything to prepare for Giannis. Yeah. They didn't do any of those type of things. So the preparation of this game is so dramatically different than what you're used to.
Yeah, and that's a key right there. We noticed that this morning. We had a discussion about that this morning, how they didn't have any defensive schemes against this team. They knew that it's more important for the Jazz to start recognizing, the type of defense that they want to play and the offense, how they want to just get things done. They knew they were going to play a lot of guys. It was more important, I think, for Quinn and the coaching staff to start giving these guys some time.
When are the first cuts? Who makes the final rosters? Oh, it's Jake Johnson from Facebook. I think you'll see some movement here, because what the Jazz can do is let – two guys go and sign more two guys on what's called Section 10 or whatever it is, and then those players go automatically to the Jazz G League roster. So you'll see the Jazz do this and likely sign two players coming up here, let two go, sign two, because that's actually just building the Salt Lake Stars roster. From there, I mean, most conversations have been a conversation of whether Stanton Kidd or William Howard makes the final 15th spot. Terrell Brantley and Justin Wright Foreman are both set up as two-way guys, so they're protected. So the only other scenario there is if somebody like Juwan Morgan or someone gets so good in camp that you're scared if he goes to the G League that somebody else will sign him, then you need to move them to a two-way contract or something of that nature. It's called an Exhibit 10. I don't know what I called it, but somebody's correcting me. That is correct. So in likelihood, that decision, Stanton Kidd versus William Howard, the Jazz have Brantley, Wright, Foreman, and One completely protected as their property. So the question is whether there's somebody who plays so well, you're scared that if you send him down the G League that somebody else will sign him to their roster. Do you think this is how the game affects how the coaching staff approaches stints without Rudy Gobert on the floor?
Repeat that.
This is from Jacob Rexis on Periscope. Do you think this game affects how the coaching staff approaches the stints with Gobert on the floor?
I think they get a pretty good look at what the Jazz can be like without Rudy on the floor, which is probably a better way of looking at that. And knowing that Ed Davis is an undersized center. How many minutes can he give you? You can see he gets into foul trouble, but he rebounds, gets you rebounds very, very well. With Rudy on the floor, things are, obviously is entirely different. But I think they get more out of what they are, when Rudy's not on the floor, on how they want to approach the game.
Have you seen enough from Tony Bradley you'd feel comfortable playing him 10 minutes a night if you need to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think so. At his size, and obviously he has pretty good footwork, he rebounds well, and, he's good around the basket. Can he develop a little bit of offense away from the basket? We'll just have to wait and see. I know for sure we watch practice that they're working on those type of things with him. But it's time to find out now if he's an NBA player going forward.
Thanks very much for tuning into this edition of Postcast tonight. It's been a pleasure to chat with you. We'll be back with you Friday from New Orleans. And thanks for working with us as we continue to try to develop our new live stream setup for you on this. As we're live on Twitch, on Facebook, on YouTube, and Periscope today on the various channels. We'll continue to develop this and work on it as we get ready. It's our preseason too. Thanks very much for tuning in. This has been Postcast on behalf of Ron Boone. I'm David Locke. Brought to you by The Store, 600 South and 20th East, also at Knight South and 100 West, and now at the Gateway for Ron Boone. Mudslide Cookies make losses like this feel better.